This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. Today, I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj
and Christine Wong.
Like yesterday and the day before, We've been here since 10 a.m. We have not moved. We are social distancing even here in the studio. Hope you guys at home are doing exactly the same thing and staying exactly where you should be. At home, doing nothing, listening to us, and sharing wonderful stories on your social media feeds, making us all smiley and happy. Please. On another note, of course, we are asking a question. The question is, what daily routine changes will you continue after the MCO is lifted? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. You can get us there. Arvind Viraj, what daily routine changes will you continue after the MCO is lifted?
After the MCO is lifted? So, not much has changed for the routine, like per se, especially when you have to go to work, when you still have to come out of the house and go to work and stuff. I don't know. It's just that I don't think I'm going to stop washing my hands.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm serious. You know, like nowadays we just wash hands for any given reason. Like, you know, if you haven't washed your hands for like an hour, you're just at the sink washing your hands. I don't think that's going to stop just because it's going to take a while for you to get back to the usual routine of washing your hands at restaurants, washing your hands just when you want to you wanna handle certain things. I think after the MCO has lifted, a lot of people are going to keep washing their hands and looking for hygiene solutions, like having a lot of sanitizer, even when they might not need it, hopefully.
But I mean, that's great. That's good. That's a good habit.
That's a good thing to keep.
Like Arvind, my daily routine hasn't changed that much. My social life hasn't either, which I don't know what that says about me. But I think one thing that I will try to continue to do is talk to more of my friends that are abroad. That I, you know, usually I come home from work and I'm really tired, and then I just kind of like go about, you know, just my day-to-day stuff, and I maybe send them a text, but I never really like sit down and have a call. But I've been having quite a few Skype sessions with a few of my friends abroad recently that have been super lovely, so I think I will try to keep that up as much as I can.
It helps with that mental health as well, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely something that I'll do as well. I've been keeping in touch with some friends I haven't spoken to in many years. Little things as well that I've noticed is, rather than my routine used to be, I would get up, I would walk downstairs and make my cup of coffee. And whilst I'm having my cup of coffee, I'd catch up on the headlines. And then I'd go up and take my shower and get ready for work and everything. Now, ever so slightly, it's up straight into the shower, then go and get coffee if I have time before I come to work. And it seems like a small tweak, but it's not, because I've had that routine for years.
No, but that's the thing that I'm talking about. Like, why does the shower flip to the start? Because of that hygiene thing, right? It's because of the cleanliness. It's because of all this talk about soap and talk about, you know, keeping yourself clean at times like this to make sure that it doesn't spread. So those kinds of things, those tiny flips that might seem insignificant, but if you think about your routine, like what you've been doing, you know, before COVID-19, this seems like it's still a change. It's still a slight change.
And also another routine change that I will try to adopt a bit more is to support local businesses as well. A lot of our SMEs are also suffering covering over and over again during these hours. So, you know, I think definitely I will try to look for more local businesses and startups that I can actually go ahead and give my support to as well.
Funnily enough, Chris, we are talking about whether or not COVID-19 can fuel the next wave of kind of startup innovations and looking at some of the local SMEs and stuff. So the global pandemic, of course, will shape businesses for decades to come. No doubt about that. COVID-19 has already shown early signs of a shift in how consumers and businesses behave. Remote working is being encouraged by tech and non-tech companies alike, and more people are buying different things online. What has been some of the changes to people's daily routines that, you know, could continue after the MCO has been lifted? Is there room for startups to grow and capitalize on this? Can this fuel the next wave of startup innovations, or is this a black swan period? We managed to get Dash Dakshinamurti from startupmalaysia.org. Dash, perhaps we could start by getting your thoughts on what's happening with the SMEs and startups all around the world with the COVID-19 pandemic.
So I think, we all can get a PhD on all the information that's coming out of the WhatsApps on the COVID-19 itself. I mean, one thing is absolutely clear, there is actually no immunity in the population as far as COVID-19 is concerned. I believe it will continue to spread. And technically, every person is a host. It's a kind of a nuclear winter, you could say. You know, but to call it, I mean, I recently seen some articles to call it a black swan event, meaning that it's unpredicted, you know, it is something not foreseen, would not be accurate, because I think we were all bracing for a kind of a slowdown. It could be, like someone said, it could be a gray rhino, you know what I mean? Because calling it black swan means, you know, then you become helpless. But I think this is actually a good time to renounce the helplessness, I would think, and startup entrepreneurs, founders. I mean, here we are looking at, when you're talking about startup, I would like to be clear on the definition. That is basically technology companies, but it also applies to anyone, everyone. I think startup founders need to become what I call as anti-fragile. You know, this is what Nassim Nicholas Taleb basically, you know, promotes, that you become stronger with uncertainty, chaos, and problems like this. I think the mindset is very important. A very well-known venture capitalist, Vinod Khosla, used to say that in a business, any business, right? You know, you only have 30% of the businesses you can control directly. 30% is controlled by outside forces, your competitors, partners, and everyone. But 40% is always unknown. And I think this is the time entrepreneurs need to know that not everything is within their control, but what they can control is firstly their mindset and how resilient they are on thinking through these issues and how they can respond to this.
Have you seen enough from our end of startups and SMEs? Like, you know, have you seen enough drive and entrepreneurship mindset that we always talk about?
Not yet. I think a lot of them are grappling with. I can't speak for the SMEs, but in the startup ecosystem, I think a lot of them are going through the shock and looking to, I mean, the mindset of looking to outside help, you know, government, on what else they can do to help them. That kind of mindset is there. But I think at this point in time, whilst you wait for all these stimulus packages to come, it's time to look within and look at what are your assets that you have, you know, whether it's cash assets or your own team's abilities to help you reinvent the business. So, yeah, I think not sufficient. I don't see a positive. Maybe there are, but I don't see completely a positive surge in confidence yet.
And since this is a global health problem, do you think this is an opportune time for entrepreneurs to step up and work together?
Yeah, it is a global health problem, and I think a lot of them are fully aware of that. But it is a very, very opportune moment. You know, I always say that, you know, entrepreneurs see problems as opportunities. And the bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity. And if you look at it, I think 94% of Fortune 500 companies have their supply chains housed in China, you know. And this will be the time that these companies will be also thinking of diversifying new companies, new countries with cheaper and more elegant options should emerge by now. And entrepreneurs should be, I mean, then it opens up a new market. Entrepreneurs should be looking at these as opportunities to see how they can support them. You know what I mean? And yes, and like you said, they should all work together address these problems and things.
You're listening to Dash Dakshinamurti from startupmalaysia.org. We had him on the phone. We'll have more from Dash in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a very short break. Don't forget, we have a question for you. What daily routine changes will you continue after the MCO is lifted? We'll give you some feedback about that after we've heard more from Dash. We're going to take a short break with some music. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9.
Bold, fearless Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
Of course, the global pandemic will be shaping businesses for decades to come. COVID-19 has already shown early signs of a shift in how consumers and businesses behave. What has been some of the changes to your daily routine that you think will continue after the movement control order has been lifted? What will you still be doing? And is there room for startups to grow and capitalize on this? Just before the break, we were speaking with Dash Dakshinamurti from startupmalaysia.org. Dash, what about challenges in the startup ecosystem? As many were looking forward to the year 2020 and scaling up, do you think businesses would be reevaluating their business and looking more locally now?
Yeah, I think first thing is this. I mean, I believe these entrepreneurs who are resilient and who have very good business models, and they are solving a big enough problem, you know, and they are not just starting a company to raise money. It's nothing wrong with them in attracting funds from outside. But, you know, and also for them to now evaluate whether they have smart investors who have deep expertise and network who are willing to help them, you know, and not just take money from grants or whatever. But, you know, this is also the time where they can build their war chest from smart investors so that they can ride through this crisis. You know, and if the recovery is quick, and after the crisis, if the recovery is quick, then, you know, we will, you know, rebound faster. But if the recovery is like drip feeding, then we need a better strategy to reserve cash and redesign our workflow and supply chains.
How do entrepreneurs manage those expectations beyond the MCO, like on the pathway to recovery? Like, is this going to be a long-term recovery, or will the market come out and start spending again?
I think it will be mid-term. You know, it's not going to be short-term. When we are looking at it as long-term, it could be about a year or so before the recovery takes place. And I think entrepreneurs need to take a long-term view if they really believe in their business models to plan for such a recovery, you know. And this is really a good time to do that. And I think they will also be able to look at their cost structures and try to see how they can do away with the non-essentials, and, you know, and focus on the real, what shall I say, the fundamental need of the ventures.
Dash, there are also a lot of articles about how this will create a new norm. Do you foresee businesses changing and thinking of how to cater to the new norm?
Yes, I think we all always need to prepare for the new norm, you know, like Peter Drucker says, you know, you need to. The entrepreneurs today have to make sure that their current business is effective and start thinking of tomorrow's business. You know, so most consumer behaviors also will change. They may demand because most of them will need to build up their own cash flows, and not many of them will have money after this as well. So, you know, people will become more frugal, will be more mindful of how they spend. And this is also the time startups need to really, really rethink on what their offerings are. And all those businesses that were not solving the real problems, you know, another Facebook or trying to be another what have you, I think may not be able to survive. I think the ones that are doing the real, solving the real issues, addressing real needs, will become more useful at that time.
With that in mind, should startups kind of be, you know, looking at themselves? Should they be more self-sufficient after all of these stimulus packages have been launched?
Yeah, I think, definitely. I mean, startup founders, everyone will have to start self-introspection, look within themselves, look at what their superpowers are, what they can really, really do in this market, and redesign their businesses according to these superpowers and what the market actually needs. And I think this could also be the time when they, you know, could think of how they can leverage more on the internet, the technology, and their cost structures to what I would call the jump on the long tail. You know, don't bother with trying to, you know, become a unicorn immediately, but, you know, have these smaller customers from around the world, like what Kevin Kelly says, the true 1,000 true fans. You know, get these kind of businesses on their, to build up their cash, immediate cash flows.
So in a way, this is basically what entrepreneurship is all about, no? Taking this time as an opportunity.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, you know, every problem is an opportunity. The bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity. And this is precisely what entrepreneurship is about. You know, it is to thrive in chaos, in uncertainty, in complexity, and at the same time, you know, be able to deliver your offerings. I personally believe that this is also the time that we need to look at how entrepreneurs are in Malaysia, especially the early stage entrepreneurs, are educated, how school children, how universities are educating entrepreneurs. It's no more the utopian, oh, if you have the best idea, you know, you can build. But, you know, it is also about all the other skill sets. And I've always said, you know, everyone needs to be entrepreneurial, although not everybody needs to start companies. And it's time that we look at, as a country, look at creating or building the innovation pipeline in the country so that more and more people emerge out of this more resilient and stronger than we were previously. I think, you know, I think it was Paul Romer who said it will be a pity to waste the crisis. And I think we should not waste this crisis, but to use it to strengthen what's weak, to eliminate what doesn't work, to reward the entrepreneurs and the businesses that are resilient and who are fighting to succeed, not because they want to preserve, they don't want to fail because it's a preservation of the ego, but they really believe this is something that's going to offer valuable, solve real problems. I think this is a time that you can pick who are the real entrepreneurs in the ecosystem, actually.
That was Dash Dakshinamurthy from startupmalaysia.org. Of course, the question we are asking you is, what daily routine changes will you continue after the MCO is lifted? People's habits are changing. We're doing a lot of different things. Some people are remaining the same. Alvin has just mentioned that some of the things he does are still the same. Some of the things I do are still the same. Mm-hmm. Christine's still the same. Some of my messages, even here on WhatsApp, are still saying they do the same thing. Still go to bed, still shower, still brush my teeth daily. No change with or without the MCO. Daily routine, one of the things that this person will be doing, number 3079, continuing to cook at home. I'm hearing that quite a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Sevis Lee has said, gratitude and reflection journaling every day before bed or after morning meditation helps to be present and to be grateful. My other habits, though, are still quite similar to pre-MCO period. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Twitter, what have we got over there, Arv?
Zion Abram says, getting my company organized to working flexible hours, sort of a new version of Soho organization. Mm. Ninja says, utilize online exercises, yoga programs at home easily. See, that's the thing. I don't think, like, once you start going back to work, you'd be able to use exercise programs at home. That's how I feel. I'm not sure if it's true or not.
Well, a lot of people on Instagram feel the same way as a Ninja, because Rendezvous says, saving up on gym membership and exercising at home. Ocean Rick also says, the routine of working out twice a day will remain, with like a little bicep curl emoji. Gerald Geraldine CYC says, work out every day, wash hands frequently, and no handshake, but namaste only.
Mm-hmm. Seeing a lot of that, actually. Working out twice a day, are you saying, well, you don't have time to do that, or, you know?
No, I'm saying if once you go back to your normal routine, if you're going to work at 9, coming back at 6, and once the traffic starts again, I'm just saying that if I could slot that in before, I would have slotted that in before. And once work starts, I don't know if it's going to continue or not.
Yeah. I would rather sleep than exercise. Let's put it that way, right?
Isn't it Donald Trump who also says that he thinks exercise is bad for you?
I'm sure he does.
I'm sure he does. Right. We are going to take a short break, of course. Do let us know if and what your habits will remain the same after the MCO is lifted, of course. 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. When we come back, we'll be talking about how you can send a selfie to prove you're at home. This is if you are working in India and the state officials are asking for this. I can't think of anything more bonkers, but there you go. And of course, we'll have an update from the FBM KLCI at break, courtesy of Arvind Yuvraj. We're going to take some music into the break. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.